by Didier Drogba. Yes! It's the greatest night in Chelsea's history. Champions of Europe at last.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the SW6 Daily Podcast. Today you are joined by the admins of the SW6 Daily account and the SW6 Daily brand. We're all here today, emergency podcast. Coronavirus has messed everyone's schedules up, so we're just here today to give you some entertainment, which should be out Tuesday morning if I did things correctly and I was not a lazy little piece of whatever. But yeah, this is me, Dami, your host, the one and only Magnificent. Yeah, we've got on the other admins. If you don't know them, we'll start off with Michele. Michele, what's happening, fam?
Yeah, what's up, Dami?
That was such a bland introduction. And we also have Elizabeth.
Hey, Dami. How's it going?
Nice, nice. I mean, not nice, but it's all good. And we have Jay.
Yo, man, you're right. Let's go.
Perfect, perfect. So you guys have all sent in your questions on Twitter. Thanks for everyone that responded. I mean, for obvious reasons, some of these questions we're not going to be able to get to because I don't know why people think I have a foot fetish on Twitter, but we shall be starting off with... We shall be starting off with some of the other interesting questions we've seen. And if we run out of questions, we'll pop on to those ones. But we're going to be starting off with one of our writers, actually. He put a question, Manhandled CFC. Thank you for your question, man. He says, how do you think the Premier League will approach the resumption of the current season? I've tried my best not to look at these questions before we started. So, yeah, I'm going to throw this at Jay. Jay, what do you think?
I actually don't know. I think there's a few ways of looking at it in terms of what could be done. You've got the sort of stagnant view that things stop and the season's void. No one gets relegated. No one gets promoted from the championship and no one wins the title. But I think that's the most unlikely. You've also got ideas such as give Liverpool the title. Personally, I think Liverpool should get the title. As much as that hurts to say, they do deserve it. And then those that are in the relegation zone, maybe there's some sort of playoff system would work, like they're thinking about in Italy, where they're essentially discussing between a title playoff and relegation playoffs to see what goes on because they don't know how long they're going to be out for. But other than that, I actually have no idea what they're planning on doing solution wise. So I'd be interested to see what Ellie or Michele have to say.
Ellie, what do you think of this? What do you think is going to happen?
So I think what they're first going to try to do is probably see if they can finish off this season, whether that be in May, June, July, like sometime over the summer, and then maybe push back the start of the season. I don't know how plausible that is because I do think that we're kind of just in the beginning stages of the virus, and I think that it's going to only get worse from here, sadly. So I don't know if that's going to happen. So if they don't find a way to kind of close out the end of the season, like Jay said, I think that they could either call the season null and void, which would be surprising, and you also need 14 Premier League clubs in order to do that, or they could also leave the table as is, which is also kind of harsh because there's a lot of teams that are really close in the European race and as well as the relegation race. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think they'll probably try to play it out. And then if they can, go with one of those two options.
That's an interesting one. And like you said before, it would be quite unfair. For example, you've got United above Sheffield United right now, which... that's not fair whatsoever. I mean, it's the nature of the game. But before I give my opinions on the whole thing as well, Michele, what do you think is going to happen with this entire scenario? Because like everyone else rightly thinks, it's up in the air at the moment. So what do you think is going to happen now?
Well, what I think is going to happen, I'm not sure. But what I'd like to happen is what Elizabeth touched on briefly, which I saw from a Frank Kalee tweet, was that 14 clubs have to agree for the league to be void. And he says that 12 clubs pretty much would already vote for that. So I do prefer that ending a lot more just because I really don't want to see Jordan Henderson lift the Premier League title or Liverpool. So, yeah, I'll go with that one.
But if the league is void, then what happens? Like, we just start over as if nothing, and then who gets the European
And what about
money?
Teams in the championship that have worked so hard to get promoted? Because that's not just a footballing reward. That is serious money that they're going to... If they get promoted, that's, like, what, 130 million straight up for the TV rights? Yeah. And for a team that is not big, say... any of the teams, actually, they're big clubs are going wrong, Leeds or West Brom, whatever, but they would really benefit from that cash injection, no doubt, and they won't get it.
Well, I mean, we have only mentioned two or three different ways here, and there is the other way where I don't think anyone is a winner, or even if Liverpool is a winner, but no one gets demoted, and three clubs get promoted, and we just play with 23 clubs, and then next season five clubs go down or something like that, or we play 22 clubs and five teams go down next season.
I mean, for me, Elizabeth, what do you want to say?
No, I was going to say, I think it makes sense. The only thing that I wonder is how they would, like, cash out the European money as well.
True. That's true. Well, like, I mean, for me, personally, I just think, because I really have, I'm not going to come out here and say, oh, I've got some services, I know what's going to happen. I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. Anyone that tells you they know what's going to happen is lying to you. But generally speaking, I feel at the moment the best thing to do would be for us to, I mean, as it currently stands, we don't know when the thing is going to boil over. The UK is going to go into shutdown by, I mean, is it 23rd of March or something like that? And the 2-week isolation period for the virus to take its course and everything should have set in by then. So I'm expecting maybe a late season. I think we're going to end the season late, as long as the Euros get postponed. So I just feel like if things boil over as quickly as I'm expecting, we're going to have a regular season. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the chances of that happening are quite low, but I think that's probably what's going to happen. But in terms of the best thing for us to do, I just feel like we need to make sure that, or as much as I don't like to, I think Liverpool should win the league. And like you said, I mean, to be unfair for, it's quite unfair for the likes of Sheffield United that United get to finish above them. But I just think in general, Liverpool should win the league. Everyone that's in the position they're currently at should go to the Champions League. And then the two or three teams, I think it's two teams that get promoted, because the last one has to do the playoffs, which we can't end up doing. So we'll have a 22 team league for that, just the next season. And then five people go down the next one and three people come up. So yeah, I think that's pretty much what it is. But then again, now that I think about that...
Five-team relegation is so intense.
Yeah,
that's,
but now that I think...
Really...
I've seen people say as well that they might do like two or three teams next year and then two or three teams the following year as well to kind of like try to split it up a bit.
You think? But I'm just thinking if we do that, isn't that going to cause like a ripple effect amongst all the leagues?
It's such an overcorrection. It'd just be a lot easier if you just did call the season void. Like, as unfair as it is on some clubs, it might just be the most logical step forward.
But if you voided it, would that mean that... So Chelsea, for example, would they get the Champions League space?
I would assume that's obviously above my pay grade. Going off of like last year's results is how I understood it. So since we came third last year, I think we would still
that.
Get Champions League.
I would also take
unless
that.
They just take the standings how it is. But if they call it void, I don't think that they would do that. I think it would go off of last year. That's what
reason,
I was curious about. Like if we get European money again, just because the season is void or how that happens, because it's a ton of money.
What do you think?
I mean, we've already got in the group stage money as well.
Look, I don't know. I don't know why I think it, but I feel as if teams aren't going to sort of go for voiding it. I know that they said that 12 would, but
I think the Premier League's too money hungry just to call it void right now.
Yeah, I
think they, I mean, when they first announced that it was going to be suspended, they said that it will resume on April the 3rd.
There's
so,
no
I mean,
way
even
that's happening. Like,
that's
no
what
way.
They said, but I do doubt
from what we're living
happen.
In Madrid, absolutely not even close.
I don't think it's gonna. I just feel like the only factor that can mess everything up is the only problems we're going to see are we're going to probably have a really short transfer window. We're probably going to, like, I don't see them cancelling, like, the Premier League. I don't see the Premier League ending the season La La Land, because of the amount of money that they had. See how long it took them to cancel the games? Everyone else canceled their games so much earlier, but the Premier League had to delay this by, like, was it an extra week or an extra 2 weeks or whatever it was? I just feel like the Euros is going to end up getting moved, maybe like December yep. next year. I feel like the Premier League is going to start off something sometime ridiculous, like maybe May or June or something like that, and it's going to end. And yeah, it's going to end late, and it's going to start off in September, in August, as it usually does. I don't feel like it's going to be all the time and space you usually have for resting and getting used to new tactics and signing. I don't think that's going to all collapse on itself, and it to be almost in a, it to almost like not exist, if that makes any sense. So I just feel it's going to mess around with all the holidays and everything. But yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. And I don't see the Premier League saying, oh, null and void, we're going to lose about £12 billion because of a stupid... I don't see that happening. So, but that's just me anyway. So what was there, anyone else have anything else to say with regards to this?
What someone did say, which is pretty interesting, is that by moving the Premier League by the certain amount of months or weeks that we have, or that we will be doing, is that it kind of plays into the Qatar 2022 World Cup quite nicely, because that would have had to have been played over the December period anyways.
Mm. Well, that is an interesting shout, to be fair. All of us caught thinking, aren't we?
Just yeah,
that I guess that would work to some extent. I mean, there are enough issues to talk about around the Qatar World Cup as it is, but that is definitely a beneficial point. I mean, the transfer window is another interesting thing, because why could you not necessarily just have a transfer window? Do you remember how was it the same this season where we could still buy players into the Premier League season?
They stopped it this season.
Yeah, of course, but as in, like, couldn't you, if the season carried into summer, couldn't we just buy players towards the end of the season if it merged into the transfer window? Does that make sense?
Some people are even saying, like, oh, are we going to see Zajac play in June or July? Like, would that even be something that's possible?
I don't think so, because he hasn't been registered.
It's so many questions up in the air. There are so many different variables that no one even knows what's going to happen at this point. So I'll just speculate for everyone that's listening. But, I don't think Ziyech would be able... I just feel... Like, it's just a lot of things are going to have to be moved around, basically. If the contracts end, I don't know. Another thing, actually, is contracts, because people are signed up to the 30th of June. What if the season goes over that?
Yeah.
What happens to that? We're going to have to see Willian's season, yeah? Oh, my God. Does anyone have anything to say about the contract as well? Because I'm not too sure what that's going to be like, because I thought about it early on today, actually. Does anyone think it would really affect us? Because that could mean, one day Willian is playing and the next day he has to leave because his contract is up, or the clubs have to offer these players like some sort of special 12-week contract till the season ends, or what do you guys think is gonna go on with that?
Surely if it was sort of, if Willian's contract obviously ends at the end of the season, is that maybe they would just alter that to be whenever the official ending of the season happens to be? If it needs extending beyond that period, then
That'd be my best guess.
I mean, but it's not... His contract isn't set till the end of the season. It's set till the 30th of June. Do you know what I mean? All these footballers get their contracts done. And this is another... I mean, it's all football, but this is a different thing entirely. These are actual legal contracts. So I can only imagine them saying... Maybe the Premier League saying, okay, because the season is ending at this period, we can give... Maybe everybody should sign. But it's a legal thing, so it's not something that they can just easily enforce, if that makes any sense. So... I can't really think of any other ways to get around that, assuming the season does, because the season was meant to end in May, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through May. So if this goes on for a month and a half, we're going to be just on the very brink of that. Or maybe the clubs might just have to play without players that are off contract. That's another thing. So
that's like half our team.
Yeah. I don't know if many fans would be that annoyed if we had to go without Willian.
Personally, I wouldn't be upset, but I don't hate Willian like a lot of my followers think I do. But yeah, that's pretty much. Does anyone have anything else to say with regards to this topic?
Yeah, I blame Manhandled entirely for throwing us all under.
Oh my days, Manhandled are coming for you. Oh, all right, we'll move on to the next question then. So next question is from Quinner12344, Sean Quinn, and he's asking, what is your favourite Chelsea game ever? Excluding Munich 2012. Elizabeth, I'll start with you.
Oh, I'm really bad at remembering games, you guys. and I've only been watching since 2014. So I guess I'll say one of my most memorable games is when it was a really shit season for us when we came in 10th. But when Hazard scored like the equalizer that took the title away from Tottenham, like I just have that like ingrained in my memory. I was like shouting and screaming. It was like this amazing goal and I was so happy. It's not like the most impressive game that we've ever had, but it just sticks out in my memory.
That's a good shout, actually. I mean, that's what I've probably gone for, because I mean, Munich 2012 is deeply ingrained into all of our hearts, yeah. Well, Michele, what's your favorite game bar that one?
Footballing wise, I'm not sure if this is my favorite game, but I mean, it was the first game I ever went to at Stamford Bridge. So it would probably have to be the 5-1 home win against Sunderland on the last day of the 16-17 season. And it was John Terry's last game. And I mean, it was a pretty good win, 5-1. And I got to see us lift the Premier League title. So it's definitely not a bad game.
That is nice.
That's a
wow,
nice
that
one.
Wow, that just takes mine out of the water.
Oh, I'm still thinking of one because you took what I was going to say, Elizabeth, actually. Jay, I'm the podcast host. You go before me.
I think mine's a bit further back. It's I don't know if it's the most amazing footballing-wise, but I think it's 30th of April 2005. We beat Bolton 2-0. And I vividly remember that game. I was 8 years old and we won the title for the first time in 50 years. And I just remember that game so well because I was with my family and my brother and my dad are all going absolutely crazy because we won finally and had Chelsea bed sheets. Everything was champions related. And I don't know, it was just the craziest thing to have a team that you've sort of grown up with, even though I was only 8 years old, but Chelsea has been such a big part of my family that to see them be the champions was a really big deal.
Mm, that's a nice shot.
I'm actually gonna... so beautiful.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
For me, I'm going to cheat a bit, actually. So I'm going with the semi-finals, the Barcelona game with Fernando Torres. I mean, everyone's probably shaking their heads at me like, oh, you could have been more creative with this. But honestly, guys, I remember that match so well because, I mean, we had pretty much already won. I mean, as long as we defended well, packed the bus, Di Matteo, hashtag Di Matteo 2012. But as long as we packed bus, we're going to win. But just the way Torres rounded off, was it Valdez? The way he just rounded him off and like got the goal was one of the best things I've ever seen with my eyes. Do you know what I mean? I was almost in tears. I was crying tears of happiness that night. I remember it so vividly because I remember my mom said if Chelsea won that game, she'd run around naked. But she hasn't done it yet. It's 8 years later. But she hasn't done it. And ever since that day, my mom has stopped betting on football because she thought it was not going to happen. But yeah, that was a really good one for all of us. That was a good one for me as well. I don't know if you guys... that's a special one in everyone's hearts. But yeah, that game. That was the game that we got the Ramirez chip as well. Woo! Oh my gosh.
I mean, even the Europa League win last season, just because for me I was at uni and I had friends that were Arsenal fans there and I just remember it's just so perfect. So perfect.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, so we're going to go to another question, and this one is from Elias. So Elias is asking a really, really funky question here because that's what a lot of people like to do on this platform. It's like they all hate us and they want us to think real hard. So Michele, this one's coming for you first since you have not answered the question first yet. So he's saying if you could make two seven-a-side teams out of any Chelsea player in history, what would it be? And as a challenge, Lampard, Drogba, Hazard or Terry can't be on the same team. Formation is 3-2-1. Go.
Oh, jeez. Seven-a-side?
Yeah.
So does that mean two teams of seven or one team of seven?
Yeah.
I mean, he said two teams of seven. I guess, but I don't think, sure. I don't, let's just make one. Yeah, one. So no Lampard, no Drogba, no Hazard, no Terry. I'm also going to chuck in no Petr Cech as well.
Okay. Well, keeper, as much as I don't want to say it, I guess I'd have to put... Well, I mean, if it's seven aside, the pitch is smaller. So I might have to go for Kepa just because of his ball-playing ability. But I think I'd rather go for Courtois just because he'd be bloody massive in those calls.
If so you I'd want put... to use Kepa, then Football James and Matisse Amani want to know your location.
That just might be worth it, you know, just rattling up James and Matisse. But yeah, I'll go with Courtois as goalkeeper. And then for the three defenders, I'll go Carvalho as a central defender. Ashley Cole on the left side, Ivanovic on the right side. And then in the midfield for the two, I'd go with Ramirez and Gianfranco Zola. And then for striker, I'll go for Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, good luck beating that one.
I said, look, that's a nice solid lineup, actually. Elizabeth, what would you line up
with? Yeah, so mine will be slightly different because I only want to speak to the players that I've actually seen, which has been since 2014.
Oh, those shots fired.
No, that's shots fired. I feel bad that I can't speak longer, but... that's when I discovered Chelsea. So, I want to be as authentic as possible in that. So I would also put Courtois in goal. I would play Ivanovic, Aspilicueta, and Ashley Cole. Okay. And then as my midfield two, I would put in Conte and Fabregas. And then... Diego Costa up front.
Okay. I was going to let Diego next, but then I don't want it to sound like I'm copying lineups because my lineup is literally a merger of Elizabeth and Michaela. But my lineup is, I have Courtois and goal, unfortunately. Rest in peace, Snake. As my left back, I have Ashley Cole as well. And my centre back is Carvalho. Obviously, I don't know who else could have got there. And my right back, actually, I was going to go with Ivanovic, but I'm going to go with Aspilicueta as well. Because I know Jay is shaking his head. I don't know if you guys are going to get the video version of this episode, but Aspilicueta is going to be my right back simply because he was, I mean, the amount of energy and effort and passion he's put into the game for us for the past seven, he's been here for 7 years. Think about it. Is it 7, 8 years? I just think I prefer him down on that right-hand side. If he had to do one-on-one defending, Ivanovic was a bully and could get up and down as big as he was. But I just think Aspilicueta, when he was a lot younger, he'd be my pick. For my midfield, I want something that's dynamic and balanced as well. So I'm going with Michael Essien and Cesc Fabregas. Good luck getting past that. And as for the striker, I mean, if it's not Drogba, it has to be one and only Diego Costa. It has to be Costa for me. I could have gone with Anelka. Anelka was a shout, but I love Diego Costa. And like what he's... Oh, I wish we had a striker like Costa right now. I mean, Tammy's doing bits and I absolutely love him. But gosh, I would kill for 25-year-old Diego Costa right now. But yeah, Jay, left in your hands now. What are you saying?
I think mine's a bit more of a combination of like old school players just because of my family being Chelsea fans. I've grown up with it, but I think I'd have Peter Bonetti in goal.
Okay, good shot.
And then I'd have Ashley Cole, Desai and Ivanovic. And then I'd have Kante, Zola and Bobby Tamblyn up front.
Okay. Well, so you don't have Bobby Tamblyn up front. That's a nice one,
Yeah. 202 Chelsea goals. What? Big guy. 202 Chelsea goals in 395 games for Chelsea, Bobby Tamblyn. He's a legend. But he played in the 60s, so it's far back, I know, but I feel like players like that deserve a mention now.
True. I mean, before I get on to the next question, actually, I know we'll all have bias towards our team, so you can't choose your team. Whose team do you think would win if we had like a little semi-finals to finals thing? Michaela, I'll start with you. No cheating, Jay. You can't choose your team.
I don't know. Probably yours, Dami, because you pretty much just copied mine, but put Essien and Fabregas.
There we go. That's one little to Dami. Elizabeth, what are you saying?
Although Costa would be kind
Stop
of
Stop it! Stop it! You've already said your choice. Don't go any further. Don't spoil it.
I'll vote for you too, Dami.
2-0, get in. I love this. Jay, what are you saying? You can't choose your team.
I'm saying my team.
You can't
my
choose team. Yours. You can't choose yours.
Oh, I'm not picking yours just for the sake of balance. I'm going to go, I'll go Michele's.
Michele's.
Yeah.
Ah, fair enough.
2-1, dummy.
I mean, just so that you, I mean, I'm going to go with Jay's simply because, not because, nah, Jay, I don't know why you're getting all gassed up on the screen, but well, it's just that's a nice classic throwback, actually. It's a nice classic throwback. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So, I mean, football Twitter is at the moment, everyone is bored to bits. And now we have Iram and TJ, the real football TJ, asking, what are we all doing with our spare time? I mean, do you guys want me to go first for this one? Or what are we saying?
Sure.
All right, fair enough. So, what am I doing with my spare time? Well, apart from my increased unhealthy Netflix addiction, I'm watching a bit more Netflix now. I have more time to go to the gym, even though that's a bit unadvisable because, like, you've got people using stuff. Elizabeth is just looking at me like my mom right now, saying, "No, you little child, what are you doing? You don't go to the gym." I mean, yeah, don't worry, I'm wearing some gloves and I actually take the mask as well. But yeah, you've got to get that summer body, even though summer is next year. But what can we do? My uni's refused to cancel stuff, so I still have to do like assignments and all of that. But yeah, I mean, Twitter is pretty, is shambles right now. We've got freaking clubs playing chess and Connect Four and all of that nonsense. It's entertaining, but for us to tweet out stuff is a bit, I mean, nothing's happening. As you can see, SW6 at the moment. Don't worry, I'm going to get back into stuff. We're going to get back into production of a lot of stuff. Not production, it's not a factory, but like we're going to get pushing some more content out. And the website is a bit of a halt as well, even though we do have content, but just, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'm sort of still living my life the way it is. It's just that I'm eating way more snacks. Crowd can't see this, but I have so many packs of, like, all sorts of trash in my room. Like, you know, all sorts of Oreos and bourbon creams and freaking caramel and muffins and all of that. But, yeah, I'm literally just staying at home and messing about. But before I even get to everyone else, I want to find out. This is off. And this is just, it's a Q&A, isn't it? I want to know my question before you tell me what you're doing. What is your favorite thing to snack on, actually? Elizabeth, I'm curious. Starting with you.
My favorite snack would probably be Oreos. I like cannot.
The queen of culture.
The entire thing. I love them.
Oreos is a good shout. Jay, what's your favorite thing to snack on? I know you're vegan, so I'm kind of curious to what you say here. Don't tell me carrots.
do you know
I'm
what?
Joking. I'm joking.
I'm a crisps guy, man.
Crisps.
Like crisps, yeah. Like kind of posh crisps are really nice.
They're, is it Tesco Finest? Salt and salt, sea salt and grinded like, fresh ground pepper.
Yeah, that kind of stuff with a bit of hummus. I'm all good, yeah.
Fair enough.
That suits me.
Michele, what's your favorite thing? And don't say chin chin.
I'll give a shout to my homeland and say biltong.
Ooh, what's that?
I've tried that.
I've never had that.
It's kind of like jerky in America, except way better because it's not processed.
Oh, okay.
I literally jumped on that, and I'm the vegan one. But I had a really good friend growing up called Cam, and he's South African, and he was like, "You need to try this, man. You need to try this." And I remember eating it when I was younger, and it was much better than jerky. Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, for me, I love cookies. I love my freshly baked cookies. Chin chin, do not stop saying chin chin, Michele. Chin chin is a Nigerian snack for those that are wondering. But yeah, I love my freshly baked cookies. Anyways, I've gone off course, massively off course. Jay, what are you doing with your spare time? How are you managing your spare time? Not spare time, but like, what are you doing with this now that football is out of the way?
We're
on a lockdown.
To be honest, mate, I'm still like full steam ahead busy because I work as a teacher as a day job. So school is still open in the UK. For now anyway, so I'm that full time, and then I do private tutoring after my work most days, and then writing here and there as well for SW6 obviously. So that's most of my time taken up. But downtime, I mean, I never really watched TV that much. I mean, I spent so much time at uni reading, obviously. I have my degree in literature, so I kind of read as much as I can still, but I'm a busy guy.
Where are you right now?
I'm reading a Christopher Hitchens essay book, a Ben Lerner poetry book, and actually reading Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte as well.
Nice. That's how you become an intellectual, ladies and gentlemen, not by claiming you're one in your bio on Instagram, okay? All right. Elizabeth, what are you doing with your all this found new time with no football and the shutdown?
Yeah, so in Madrid, if you guys don't know, we're in full lockdown and we can't leave the house, and they have like cop cars going out to make sure that you stay inside and they'll fine you and everything. So it's like quite dire here. So I have like a full-time job. I have mandatory work from home until at least April 3rd or something, but I have a feeling it will be pushed back a lot further. So right now, like Monday to Friday, I have to work, and then afterwards the only difference really is that I don't have to commute, so I'll like try to do some workout at home or cook or whatever. And I've been watching Netflix, reading, and like I try to watch shows in Spanish or read in Spanish,
amazing.
Have to get my like driving exam here in Spain. Like I have my license in the US, but it's not valid here. So I've been like studying for the driving exam as well. It's so terrible doing it in your native language. So doing it in Spanish is like 10 times worse.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. Do you speak Spanish fluently as well?
I would say I have like an advanced level, but I'm not
fluent. But ¿hablas español?
Sí, claro que hablo.
Okay, nice one. That's the only sentence I know Spanish, by the way. Michele, what are you doing with all this found new time?
Well, I figured with no football, I might as well just increase my knowledge and just read some books and stuff. And I'm on holiday at the moment, so the boredom hasn't quite hit me yet. But I'm just getting like, I'm just watching some YouTube, a little bit of Netflix, and listening to some audiobooks. I'm busy listening to Billions and Billions by Carl Sagan, I think. It's an astrophysics novel. It's pretty old, but yeah, it's really good. And yeah, I'm just getting some lists for some other aerospace related books and engineering books and stuff like that.
As you can see, also SW6 here are talented intellectuals,
high class
individual intellectuals.
FC. Variety as well, pure exactly. Variety.
Exactly, yeah. We're all smiling, all right. But bottom line is, read books. Books are actually interesting. They
read
actually
books and
are.
Wash your hands.
And wash your hands, yes.
I do have one question though, if you don't mind, a football one.
Okay.
If we have time, it's only a quick one.
Yeah.
But I'd be really interested to know from the three of you if which player in the summer, and don't worry too much about him fitting into the team, would you like to bring into Chelsea that's not a Premier League player? Does that make sense? So from any other league but not Premier League player, would you like to see don the blue jersey?
I mean, Sir Don J. Don Sancho, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, who else was I going to say? It has to be Sancho. Yeah. We've already got ZX. Like, it's Dayton Sancho for me. But if we're not trying to be bait, and I'm not trying to be, that's the easy one. I'd actually have to go with either Soumaré or Ajax Tejes. Now, the reason I'm choosing one of those two is because everyone knows I apparently Soccer Jorginho off on Twitter. Apparently, that's the thing now. I don't know where the hell that came from, but everyone, and I've come to the conclusion that Jorginho, definitely, maybe in the next half or year and a half, he's got to be on his way, or 2 years. I mean, however long it is, I know he's not going to fit the system. I've seen the same thing applies to Kante as well. Median, I know you're going to listen to this. And fam, I'm telling you, Kante and Jorginho are off very, very soon. So I'm kind of keen to see what Soumaré is going to be like, actually. But between Soumaré and Ajax Tejes, I think Ajax Tejes, man, because our left-back situation is kind of iffy. I mean, I've always watched Emerson, like I've said before. I used to watch all the leagues when I was a lot freer before, when I was in doing my A-levels and stuff, my advanced accelerated A-levels. But I just feel like Ajax Tejes, with the goal contributions he has, he's basically like, I wouldn't say, I've not watched a lot of him to see his style, but his numbers put him at like Alonso-esque level, and then his defensive numbers are also really, really good. Only disadvantage is that he's quite short. But yeah, I'll stop talking and let somebody else take the stage.
Yeah, I was going to say Alex Telles as well. Like, well, my number one is Sancho, but if you take him out of it, since he's the obvious choice, like he would be the next person that I say. I haven't seen him play too much either, but just going off of the position that we need to reinforce the most, I would go for him for left back. I think also, just to like ask you guys a question, I think it will be interesting to see like what happens with the left back situation. Do you think that we're going? I don't think we're going to sell two left backs. I would be really surprised if we sell Emerson and Alonso. So who do you think we're going to sell at the end of the season?
Before we get to that, actually, let me just let Michaela answer the question as well, and then Jay, and then we'll just circle around again.
How realistic do you want my answer to be? Can I go like full FIFA career mode, or
you, what do you, are you, you, a 12 year? Why don't you do both? Why don't you go like a full sort of?
I'll give you both.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if this were FIFA career mode, I would 100% go for Alphonso Davies. I mean, I genuinely haven't been that scared of a footballer since prime Gareth Bale and Robin van Persie. Like, I don't suffer from anxiety, but every time the commentator said his name, my heart skipped a beat, man.
That's a good shout.
He actually, I mean, yeah, what he did to Richie was that there was, my God.
It's scary.
It was scary. It was scary.
And he's not even a left back. He's a freaking right winger that they just threw at left back.
Are you joking?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Wow. Explains a lot, though. He's a right winger. Explains a lot. So who would your realistic target be then?
Well, I'll give you like a obscure answer here. And if we're talking about competition for Kepa or replacements for Kepa, for a replacement, I would say Unai Simon of Atletico Bilbao, purely because he has a low release clause of like 50 million euros and Bilbao know that it's going to get triggered. So they actually, I don't know if this is concrete or not, or if it's got anything going for it, but they do want Kepa back. And Kepa's probably, you can only really get about 50 million euros from him now, just purely because of his contract he still has, not because of his form. So, I mean, I could expect a straight swap to even happen. Or as competition for Kepa, because Caballero isn't getting any younger, and I'd assume we're going to replace him soon, I'd probably bring in Rakovic from Stade de Reims, or maybe even Onana. And then if Kepa can't cut it, you maybe just loan him out or just sell him.
Fair enough. Jay, I threw a question back at you. What are you saying?
I won't mention goalkeepers or left backs. Try and keep it interesting. I would like to see someone like Jovic at the club to provide some competition for Tammy. But I understand that myself included actually want to see Tammy start the majority of games. So having someone of the caliber of Jovic might disrupt him slightly. I would also quite like to see a centre-back as well. I'd be happy for me personally. Yeah. I think Zouma's maybe the weakest of the three. I'm not entirely sure it changes every game, but I'd be really interested if we could bring in a slightly older, real leader like Romagnoli at AC Milan, who's around 25, 26 now. And I think... I know that he's been at Milan for a long time, but we could offer him a platform onto a slightly higher level than Milan would be at. And there are other centre-backs that we could look at as well, but I think someone between the age range of 24 to 27 that has sort of some leadership qualities and also footballing ability, because that obviously ability outweighs leadership, clearly, but it's a valuable asset that we lack now. Mm. And I think bringing someone who's defensively solid would increase confidence, and also if they provide leadership, that's a motif that the club's used to, with Terry being such a centrepiece in the fabric of Chelsea's culture. I think it'd be really interesting not to replicate John Terry necessarily, because I don't think that's possible, but to have a defensive leader who brings quality as well as his vocal ability would be great.
Okay.
Romagnoli.
You
can go first.
Do you think that Empedu would like potentially fill that gap at all, or be featured in the starting 11? Like, do you think would you take him into consideration when thinking about who you're going to buy in the summer?
Wait, say that again.
Would you take Ethan Empedu into consideration when thinking about who you're buying in the summer?
Yeah, I would, but I wouldn't. I don't think we need someone like Samare. I'd be happy to give Gilmore minutes, and I'd also like to see Ampadu as a DM, because he has played there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't really know if he's physically ready for constant Premier League action. I don't know. That could be a bit presumptive of me, but I think he could play a vital role in the midfield as well, because he's really, really good with his feet.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Does anyone have anything else to say with regards to that topic?
I was just going to touch on the two players that Jay mentioned. And I do like Romagnoli, but the only stumbling block I see there is that Mino Raiola is his agent.
Yeah.
And yeah, we don't go near that guy. And for Jovic, just because we'd like to see Tammy play doesn't mean that we wouldn't see Jovic play. I mean, I don't know if you saw much of Frankfurt last season or much of Jovic, but the only reason why he put up the numbers he did is because he plays off of someone like Sebastian Haller.
Yeah.
And even Mount plays similarly to Jovic in that sense. So we could easily see Jovic in that a slightly more advanced role than what Mount currently has. So we could easily see the two of them play together.
Hmm.
If it were to happen, of
That's
course.
Such a good point, yeah. And then have Giroud as a backup.
Yeah, Giroud warrants a backup right now because he's done fantastically over what happened and everything. Well, yeah, moving on to Elizabeth's question, actually. I've had a good think about this. And so for those of us that forgot it, she asked about the left-back situation. Basically, can you just repeat your question, Elizabeth?
I asked, given the left-back situation, I think that we will definitely buy somebody, but who would you sell in the summer? Because I don't think that we're going to sell two left-backs. So would you sell Emerson or Alonso? Or you could perfectly say both and have somebody else as a backup.
My straight answer is going to be, okay, now I'll give that first. So what I'm thinking is, as it currently stands, I've been caught saying that Alonso is one of, in terms of, if you're talking about left wing back, I think he's unrivaled in that position. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, he can be very lazy and sluggish with his defending and all of that. But when it comes to being a left wing back, oh my gosh, you literally cannot find someone that can do a better job than him, bar maybe Alexandro from a year or two ago. But is it Alexandro? Was Alexandro, right, that played for Juventus? Yeah, yes. Bar him, yeah. But I've also watched Emerson, and I know what Emerson is capable of. A lot of people have started slagging him off and saying, oh my gosh, he's such a bad left back. But everyone has forgotten the numbers he was putting up at the beginning of the season. Yeah, was playing the fluid, nice-looking football that we're supposed to be playing at Chelsea right now with Lampard and everything. But I just feel in the long term, as it currently stands, some people might say, oh, Alonso would be better if Frank wants to use the 3-4-3. Nah, I don't think it's worth it. I think right now, we should get rid of the player who has the higher market value. And I think we can get a lot of money for Marcos Alonso simply because he's performing really, really well at the moment. And I know Antonio Conte is probably tossing one off for him at the moment at Inter Milan. So I know. I reckon if we're going to sell any one of them, I reckon we should get rid of Marcos Alonso and keep Emerson, simply because I know what Emerson is capable of, but I also feel like Alonso commands way more money than Emerson does. So, yeah. Yeah. Jay, want to say anything about that?
I think if I'm realistically, I could see Lampard selling Emerson over Alonso.
Really?
I think, if you look at the chance, I don't think Lampard has any confidence in Emerson's ability, really, which is a shame, because as a fan base, I think on the whole Chelsea fans were relatively optimistic about Emerson. But I think Alonso's value to us might be more than we would get for him, because the goals that he puts into the club are so important sometimes, and he always crops up at the right time. It's really bizarre, but I think, and he also offers a bit more flexibility. He's obviously not defensively sound, really. If we got a quality left back in, that would sort that issue out, then fine. But if we wanted to play a three at the back, which the team are clearly quite comfortable playing, having Alonso as left wing back, I honestly don't know if there's a better one, really. He just works himself. His positioning is really
top tier.
Quite good.
Top tier.
Yeah, his attacking positioning tier. Anyway. His defensive positioning is shocking, but his attacking positioning is genuinely outstanding. He is always in the right place. And his ability to strike the ball really cleanly, consistently, is really useful. And I don't think Emerson has either of those things.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Michele, what about you, man? Michele's connection. We can't hear what you're saying, mate. Can you, like, can you... We couldn't hear you at all. Actually, so that I don't have to leave this awkward silence. Elizabeth, what do you think? While Michele sorts out his microphone, Elizabeth, what about you? What do you actually think would happen in this case?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've been going back and forth with, because if you asked me this question a couple of weeks ago, I would have said, like, oh, sell Alonso. Like, I think that most of us would have, like, put him on his plane wherever. And now he's actually been performing and showing up. My problem with Alonso is that he's just so inconsistent. We just never know which Alonso is going to show up. But at the same time, at this point, he has at least proven to me that he can score some vital goals, which I don't get that feeling from Emerson. And I just am, like, very nervous anytime Emerson is on the ball. So if we're going for who is a better backup for us, I would keep Alonso and sell Emerson.
Fair enough.
Do you have a second team or a team that you look at and like to watch? For me, I like to watch Inter Milan, and I went to San Siro with my girlfriend to watch them play, and that was fantastic.
Oh, okay, that's a good chat. Your second team. When it comes to second team,
football, second team's a tough phrase, isn't it? Just there are teams that I've liked for a long time, and now that Conte's there, I like them even more. It was basically my mum and dad got myself and my brother. I had the Inter kit, my brother had the AC Milan kit. So since then, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Inter.
Elizabeth, do you reckon you could give one? Because I think I do know what I want to say, but I'm not too sure. I have to think about it a bit more, Elizabeth.
I don't really have, like, a second team. So to say, like, I do have soft spots for some team. Like, for some reason, I have a soft spot for Bournemouth. I don't know why. Like, I'm just super impressed with what Eddie Howe has done with the team, like, bringing them up from, I think, like, the bottom of League Two and then constantly having them promoted all within the space of 5 years. So I've always been, like, really impressed with them, and I always kind of, like, root for them to do well. And then, like, living in Madrid, my husband's a real Madrid fan, so, like, occasionally I'll watch the games. Now that Hazard's there, it makes it a lot easier to support them, but I won't go, like, out of my way to watch their games.
That's a good, you know, for me, as it currently stands, I mean, now that Sheffield United are up in the Premier League, we get to watch the games live as well. I get to go to the stadium and watch a couple of games, and I really enjoy their football. But if you're asking me about teams that I could probably sit down and watch that are not Chelsea, Atletico Madrid of recent have been quite, I wouldn't say bad, but then their football is not interesting to watch. But I've always had a soft spot for them and Borussia Dortmund. I had a soft spot for the second best teams at their respective times in Germany and Inter and Spain. I don't know why. I was happy when Atletico won the league a couple of years back. Was it 2014? And same thing with Dortmund as well. But, like, yeah, that's those are the teams I watch. I do tend to watch. Sheffield, based on location, and actually after watching the first time, like, people like Sander Berge, I wouldn't have known a lot about them if I hadn't watched it. But
he's a good player.
Yeah, he is. But I don't feel, generally speaking, if I had to choose one, I'd probably just go with Dortmund, just because of Jadon Sancho. But right from time, it had to be between Dortmund and Atletico Madrid.
Just to carry on from your point, it is weird how sort of second and third teams are always quite cool. But it's, I don't always think that in English football, but I think that's because I'm from here. Like, Juventus are kind of cool, but Napoli and Inter are cooler for me, and AC Milan, but they've always typically been a bigger team. Dortmund are possibly the coolest team in the world. I really root for Atletico Madrid because I like Simeone a lot, and I've always backed him to be a Chelsea manager.
I don't think it ever happened now though because Man City is softball basically.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think especially when we had Mourinho, and we've always been a relatively defensive side, even though we've scored lots, but we've always been so defensively sound. I just thought Simeone at Chelsea just seemed like a great match, like Conte as well. And I love Conte. Conte is the guy.
I love how they're both so animated on the pitch. Like, I went to the Atletico Madrid game, like, 2 weeks ago, and you saw Simeone just, like, always out of his technical area. And it's like he was on the pitch a little bit at some point as well. So that was,
it's passion. It's something that you absolutely want to see on the sideline. Lamps has it, but there's, like, it's fierce when Conte and Simeone are on it. They are almost like a 12th man. Just themselves. They are real beasts.
Mm. Fair enough, fair enough. So let's try McKaylee for the last time. McKaylee, are you with us?
Dummy.
Oh, finally he's back.
My phone was on 3%, so I tried my little brother's AirPods and charged my phone a little bit, and then that wasn't working. Then I tried his headphones, those weren't working. Then I went back to my earphones, and I just thought, screw it, if my phone dies, it dies. That didn't work. So I just closed the app and then came back in.
I think I know what the issue must have been. You should have probably come into the... the viewers can't see, but you should have probably come in here for your phone. If you had gone into there, you'd have probably been able to fix it. But yeah, hopefully this comes out as a YouTube video as well. That'd be a bit interesting. So they can actually tell what was actually happening. But just to carry on for the actual listeners of the podcast, sorry for all the rambles. I want you guys to give one word answers, because we still have quite a few questions. We want to get that. We have a limited amount of time. One word answers, okay? Your favorite player for Chelsea ever. Michele, go.
Didier Drogba.
Elizabeth.
Hazard.
Jay.
Lampard.
Yeah, I'm guessing I'm Lampard as well. That's such a sick team. Drogba, Hazard, Lampard. That's a nice one. Lampard right from time. But yeah, Michele, what's the reason behind choosing Drogba? Is it because...
Yeah, that's pretty much how I became a fan of Chelsea. It was just watching him absolutely destroy Vidic and Ferdinand, which are arguably two of the three best defenders in Premier League history. So... how can you not?
True. Fair enough. Elizabeth?
Yeah, similar to Michele, I started watching Chelsea when Hazard really, I think he was only there for a year or two. So he was really making his name in the Premier League. And I was just so awestruck with him and how he dribbled past players with such ease, and just he would score these ridiculous goals that you would never think that somebody would score, you know. So he's just like magic. He has this something that is so hard to find.
Jay?
Lampard's the greatest Premier League midfielder bar none, so that is all you need to say. There is no one that is as good as Frank Lampard in the midfield in Premier League history. And the fact that he played for the club and loved the club, and he's the manager now, he is just the greatest football player. He's my favourite football player of all time, hands down.
Fair enough. I just watched Lampard's games and the goals he scored. Man used to score goals from 1 million yards away. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. So that's why I chose him. He's the one that made me... that's one of the reasons why... I suffered from before I was born, but I actually proper started because of Lampard, if that makes any sense. Now, we're moving on. So we've actually run out of general questions as it stands. So we've got quite a lot of directed questions. I don't know why the comments are acting me ridiculously. Elizabeth, you have quite a few as well. But I guess I'm going to everyone general have... And Michele has a couple, and Jay... I don't know why they're not giving you love, bro. I don't know why.
No, it's all right, man. I'm new to this football Twitter stuff. You guys have been here a while.
Fair enough. Jay actually has one. Yeah, Jay actually got one, to be fair. But yeah, so let's start off with Ollie Wiseman. Ollie has some really interesting questions. And I think, guys, let's not take too much time on this question so that because of nature of the time and everything. But... for starters, number one, when is Dami going to grow out his afro and his beard? I can grow a beard, but I really do not like having one. I haven't shaved in about 2 days, so my hair is starting to show up. You can't really see it. But I'm really not a fan of having a beard, so I always cut it. I cut my beard every day if I can. It does cost bumps and everything, but I spend quite a lot of money on taking care of my face and that. And as for my hair is ridiculously long. It's just that I always packed it down to be very, very... I packed it down so that it looks relatively short. So, yeah, that's that. Number two, when is clown emoji, Michelle, clown emoji, coming to the Isle of Man?
Michele. When he pays for my flights, I'll go.
When he pays for... Perfect. Number three is more of a serious question, I guess. But he's asking both Elizabeth and Jay to rate the coronavirus out of 100. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's positive or negative or how bad it's been, but coronavirus out of 100.
How bad it's been? I'm in isolation for a week now. So it's been on a scale of 1 to terrible, beyond terrible, and we don't know when we're getting out of this mess. So
Jay?
That question is so loaded. It just reminds me of those sort of old games you get on your phone where you'd have to like infect the world as it went around. I'd say it's doing quite well at the moment, but it's not got everyone. But it's a, I don't know, in Oxford it's maybe a solid 10% right now, but I appreciate that elsewhere it is horrifically bad.
Fair enough. Next question we have is from Sandro Leita. So he's asking, so this one's for me. He says, did you join Twitter for football Twitter or something else? I have 5 Twitter accounts. I'm going to start that off.
Oh my God.
I've got a personal Twitter account that's private. I've got a gaming Twitter account from about, 8 years ago. I've got my football Twitter account. I've got the podcast Twitter account. And I've also got the SW6 Twitter account, which we all share. So the thing with that is, I don't know why Sandra is jumping a few more questions into this, but I'm not going to respond to those as I'm looking at this. But I joined football Twitter because I was following quite a lot of football Twitter accounts on my private Twitter account, my personal one for the jokes and everything. But then it just became a bit too much, and I wanted to comment, but I have the account private for reasons. Obviously, it's a private account. All my accounts stay private. My Instagram is private. My Snapchat is out there in the public, and all of those things I can't. I like to keep my private life private. But football Twitter, I wanted to do a bit more interacting with people, and I wanted to get my ideas, because I saw quite a lot of accounts, and I'm not going to mention anybody's ads, but I saw quite a few accounts spouting some utter trash. I'm just like, yo, I cannot have this anymore. Now I've hopped on the platform, and here I am with about 1,500 followers. Well, I've got a freaking... But yeah, I mean, I didn't join it for football Twitter, but I ended up having a football Twitter account, and I've got a lot more stuff going on for me. But yeah, second question is actually for Elizabeth, and she's asking, besides football Twitter, what other sports do you like? I guess everyone can answer this one, to be fair, but Elizabeth, we'll start with you, since it was directed at you.
Yeah, I honestly don't really follow any other sports other than football. Like, I will occasionally follow American football, but now it's like very hard to find that I'm living in Spain. But like when I go home, if it's on, sometimes my family will watch it. I've been to like a decent amount of baseball games as well, and I don't like watching them on TV, but I really like going to the game and the atmosphere of it. But I'm just super, super into football. I dedicate all of my time to it.
Enough. Jay?
I think the Sunday Club boys that I'm friends with would absolutely kill me if I didn't mention rugby. I'm not a huge rugby fan, to be fair, but I care about my friends' involvement in rugby to the point where they play for a team called Grove, which is a team local to the area, and they're really passionate about rugby. So I like rugby when I'm with them. And also I quite like grassroots football. I know it's a bit of a cheat answer, but sort of Sunday league football, Saturday league football. My friend James plays for a team called Letcombe. It's nice to support things like that when you can. It's quite rare to be able to go and see those games, but to give them even a shout out is something that's worth doing for sure. Michele?
Yeah, well, I occasionally play tennis, and I used to play a lot more tennis than I do now, but I'm not much of a fan when it comes to watching it. And obviously, because I'm going to be moving to the US for my college and university, I'm trying to get into like the whole NFL, NBA, and all of that kind of stuff.
Fair enough. I mean, for me personally, I don't really watch that much. Well, yeah, I mean, for me personally, for other sports, I don't watch everything as much as football. But if I had to say sports that I do like watch in my spare time, if they're on, I love watching tennis. Tennis is a sport that I absolutely love watching. I know it's a bit odd. I also play tennis as well. I play quite a lot of sports. I play an uncomfortable number of sports. I mean, and I also love watching badminton as well. But yeah, I watch football, tennis, badminton, and I also do watch, I mean, F1 as well. But why is everyone laughing? Like, what's funny about that?
It's just cute, man. It's
cute. Cute. Are you joking?
It is very cute.
What? Did you know what the ball for badminton is?
The ball? It's not even... It's called the shuttlecock. I swear this is PG. I mean, I promise the thing is PG on Spotify. Let's not lose that rating, please. I beg of you.
He says after swearing. This is the guy.
When I said so, so the users are not supposed to know that, but thanks for exposing me, Jay. We shall be moving on to the last question of this episode, which is directed at me. At CFC Donohoe is asking, Diamond, would you consider a career in sports journalism in the future? I think I'll throw this one out to everyone, but would I consider it? I love software engineering. That's why I study at university. But if the opportunities came round and I had to be a sports journalist for Chelsea or something like that, I mean, I don't think it's something I would actively push, except I had to. But if an opportunity actually did come round from doing all of this, I would definitely take it. So that's just me. I mean, does anyone else? I'm curious to know your thoughts. I know Jay, you're a writer, so we'll leave you for last. You have the best chat of all of us, I think. But Elizabeth, what about you?
Like right now, it's more of just a hobby for me. I don't think I would ever be like a sports journalist, but I would be interested in doing something like with videos or like reviews after games or tactical analysis or something like that, like more of the speaking side of it.
Fair enough. Michele?
Well, again, it's not something I would actively pursue, but I guess if my aerospace engineering career goes belly up and the opportunity did arrive, I'd definitely take it, I'd say.
Fair enough. Jay, what about you, man?
I would like to, yeah. I think my priority still, I've always, well, in the last few years anyway, I really want to be a university lecturer. So I'm still planning on my PhD very soon. So that would take priority. But again, I think it's the same with all of us. If that opportunity, shows itself, then it's something to really consider. And I think I probably would have to take it, yeah.
Fair enough. So, yeah, we're officially out of questions for this emergency podcast.
I don't think we are, dummy.
What's that?
I believe Iram asked you an interesting question and an insightful question. And I would like
to Anyways, we are actually out of questions for the SW16 podcast.
What sort of question, dummy?
All right, what was the question again? What did he say? What on earth was that question? Iram asks, when did Dami get his thing for ankles? I do not have a thing for ankles. Thank you very much. I do not have anything going on for ankles. That is a weird topic. I don't know what you're doing in your spare time, but I think you should go out and read a book like the rest of us. So on that shocking bombshell, I think we shall be ending this episode of the SW6 Daily Podcast. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Oh, no, I do that for actual guests. You guys are admins. You don't get a thank you from me. Well, no, I'm kidding. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for coming on. Big shout out to Elizabeth in Madrid. Stay safe, Eli. Please, I beg of you. The KLA in South Africa, nobody cares. Oxford, you guys are just too posh. You guys are too posh to catch the coronavirus. So, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, I mean, you guys want to plug anything? Is anything? I mean, I don't know how to end
just
this.
Just wash
episode.
Your hands. Just wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands. Yeah, wash your hands. Wash your hands.
Was don't anything? Wear face masks.
And wear face. Yeah, I mean, actually.
Makes you look dumb.
I mean, yeah, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah, not too bad. But yeah, all right. So I'll have this face mask.
There we go.
So, anyone else have anything else to say? Anyone have anything to say before we go? Elizabeth.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
I've enjoyed this, so.
Yeah, this ramble chat that's continued over the last hour has been enjoyable.
Yeah.
Shout out Sunday
it's
Club.
It's the first time we've all like spoken together as well, so it's been really fun.
Yeah, that's true.
So, listeners, I hope you enjoyed this one. We clearly did. And I'm left here thinking how to end this because I'm used to having people plug stuff, so it's easy for me to segue off. But you learn every day, and then you're going to have to endure this awkward bit of closing with me. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode with an absolutely massive guest. And that guest is going to be... You're not going to find out until the next episode. All right, watch out for the tweets, and we'll catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.